Proverbs chapter 6, page 639. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard, when we get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is John Edwards. I'm a member of Holy Trinity here. Well, this morning we are confronted, as you see, by fools. Proverbs, living well in this world. Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Well, this morning we're looking at that second part of that verse. Let us pray then as we open God's word together. Heavenly Father, this is your holy word. Help me to open it with humility. Help us all to listen and hear what you have to say for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yes, the strapline of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, it's vital for us as men and women created by God to live lives that harmonize with our Creator. There's no other way to live lives of significance and value. Well, this morning we look at what happens if you don't honor the Lord as you should. The message this morning is the rejection of the Lord is the beginning of foolishness. Our task this morning is to learn from the mistakes of others. And our writer invites us to meet three fools, each of whom has made a mistake of increasing seriousness. Not one of them recognizes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For each one, the writer describes the outcomes, and they too, you will notice, develop in seriousness. But first, we are invited to meet the short-sighted fool. The short-sighted fool, verses 1 to 5. I would ask you, please, to keep your Bibles open, if you would, particularly for those of you who are online. I will have the passages of Scripture on the screen, but you won't be able to read them because it'll be too small. So please do keep your Bibles open to see that what I'm saying is the Word of God. Well, the situation here is one of an unwise financial enterprise into which the fool has allowed himself to be drawn. We'll call him Moneybags. Let's look at what the father is telling the son about Moneybags. My son, he says, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, Then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Well, we're fascinated, are we not, to discover the circumstance. Why did Moneybags enter this enterprise? And what was his motive? We have a few clues, don't we? First, we discover that his knowledge of the person involved is limited. It's not a relative or a close friend. It's a neighbor. Some translations use the word stranger. Second, we learn that his knowledge of the enterprise is also limited. Clearly, something has come up to make him change his mind. Some fresh evidence that demands that he get out of the situation. Now, I suggest that had he explored the enterprise fully, then it would appear to me that he would have had to have considered the possibility of foreseeable fresh evidence coming to light before embarking on the enterprise in the first place. So what was his motive? Well, it could have been kindness, of course, couldn't it? Or compassion. Someone needs his financial help. Well, Scripture makes it clear that such kindness is good. But he needs to be prudent in his use of his resources. If he's going to stand as a guarantor for someone, he needs to fully investigate both the person and the enterprise, both of which he seems to have failed to do. Or was his motive greed? Was he jumping in on a certain winner, a guaranteed way of making a massive profit, as long as he grabbed the opportunity while it lasted? Soon the dream becomes a nightmare, and as the situation is explored more deeply. Well, the advice of the father to the son is clear. First, he must recognize the situation for what it is. Look at how the writer describes the situation with words and phrases like trapped, ensnared, free yourself, fallen into your neighbor's hands, like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, a bird from the snare of the fowler. If he's made an error of judgment, then he must recognize that and be honest with himself. He needs to admit that he's made an error of judgment. Secondly, he must take action to get out of it. That action needs to be both urgent and decisive. If the fear of the Lord was for Moneybags the beginning of wisdom, would he be in this situation? Would he have recognized that all he had was from God? And that he needed to be both grateful and wise in its use? Moneybags teaches us that we need to enter into arrangements with others very thoughtfully. We need to be very careful whom we trust. But if we do make errors of judgment, that we dare not be too proud to recognize that and to take urgent and decisive action to correct the situation. We will discover as we proceed that these lessons have wider implications than those just of our use of our money. Well, we're next invited to meet another fool. This one contrasts markedly with the first. This one does not recognize the problem, does not take urgent and decisive action. We meet the sluggard. Actually, we don't meet him. He failed to make our appointment. He's still in bed. We'll call him Lazy Bones, shall we? We discover there's nothing that makes Lazy Bones want to get up in the morning. Lazy Bones has no ambition. Life for Lazy Bones has no meaning, no purpose, no direction, no destination. Of course he doesn't take urgent and decisive action to remedy the situation. He's not even aware there's a problem. No deep thought has been applied to the situation. Well, the father wants lazy bones to learn from the ant. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11. Go to the ant, he says, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands dressed, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. The father highlights several things about the ant. First of all, that the ant is self-motivated, doesn't need someone to tell it what to do. Second, that the ant takes the necessary action to avoid foreseeable future problems. It takes the trouble when food is plentiful to prepare for when food is not nearly so easily obtained. Lazybones does neither of these things. Lazybones is not self-motivated. Lazybones makes no preparation whatsoever for the future. And the outcome? Well, the outcome for Lazybones is far more serious than that for Moneybags. Moneybags saw the danger of poverty looming and took action. Lazybones closes his sleepy eyes to the problem, and it hits him like a ton of bricks. Poverty descends upon him. There's no escape. We need to learn from the mistakes of Lazybones. We need to recognize that we do need to engage with life. We have to ask deep questions about life. How do we find its meaning? How do we find its purpose? Does life have a direction? Does it have a destination? How do we engage with life so that we live lives of value and significance? Well, we learn from Proverbs that life does have a meaning, a purpose, a direction, and a destination. And that to begin our search for meaning, we need to begin with the fear of the Lord who gave us that life in the first place. It is as we seek to engage with the Lord that life takes on its meaning, its purpose, its direction, and destination. If we reject the Lord, that is the beginning of foolishness. Well, we're ready, are we not, to meet our third fool. This one is self-motivated. For him, life does have a very clear purpose, a direction, and a destination. Oh, yes. We meet the scoundrel. We'll call him deceitful double talk. Our writer tells us of his methods of communication, his plans, and his effect on others. And then comes the outcome. Proverbs 6, verses 12 to 15. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Deceitful double talk is slimy. There's nothing straightforward about him. You never know what he's really thinking, nor what he really means when he speaks. It's clear that deceitful double talk has a very well worked out understanding of life. It's all about him. He is its center. He is its meaning. He is its purpose. The purposes of life is to benefit deceitful double talk. And he will use others to better himself. He has, however, a great gift, a magnificent gift. He's able to pull the wool over the eyes of absolutely anyone. Disharmony and acrimony mark his relationships with others. Not that that matters in his pursuit of self-betterment. But then we read this, verses 16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him: a haughty eye, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Well, it seems there is one over whose eyes he cannot pull the wool. It seems there is one who does see into the heart of deceitful double talk. In verse 21 of the previous chapter that Nick spoke on last week, we read, "A man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths." Deceitful double talk should have taken note of that. The Lord, we are told, looks at deceitful double talk and looks straight through him. He sees the pride in his eyes. He perceives the lie on his tongue. He notes the innocence of the injured party left in the wake of deceitful double talk's activity. He observes the intention of his evil heart. He watches the haste with which he rushes into evil. He listens to the lies that betray the innocent. He's hurt by the discord created in his relationships. When God looks at deceitful double talk, he sees a man who has not feared the Lord, but ignored him. God's verdict on this man is a fool. Jesus tells us of a story of a man who is called a fool by God. In Luke 12, we meet a farmer who was fortunate enough to have a bumper crop one year, so much so that he ran out of storage space. And so we read, he asked himself two questions: what shall I do with my wealth, and what shall I do with my soul? Well, his wealth, of course, came first. He decided that he needed larger storage space for all his newfound wealth. And he said to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." You see, life for the farmer had fulfilled all he'd asked for it. Life was about living luxuriously, lazily. And then we read, but God said to him, "You fool. This night, your soul is required of you." The farmer has fallen into the same error as each of our three fools that we have met. He, like deceitful double talk, failed to appreciate that he was accountable to God. He made the mistake, like lazy bones, in failing to appreciate that life has a deeper meaning, a purpose, a direction, and a destination. He, like Moneybags, failed to recognize the problem, failed to immediately take decisive action. This farmer failed to see that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In fact, he ignored God altogether and God's verdict on him: "You fool." But you know, the New Testament also tells us that in the eyes of society, we Christians are fools. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1 and verse 18, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, in the eyes of society, the message of the cross is foolishness. The idea that our Creator God should care for humankind so much that he squeezed himself into a human body to show in human form what the invisible God is really like, then to die, bearing the full weight of the wrath of God himself so that justice could be done and forgiveness offered to all who seek it from him. These ideas are foolishness to society. So it seems we're all fools. The choice we all have to make is in whose eyes are we prepared to be a fool? In the eyes of society, if we believe the message of the cross, or in the eyes of God, if we fail to appreciate that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We need to heed, do we not, the lessons of deceitful double talk, those lessons he failed to learn. We need to see that God does see straight through us. We just cannot pull the wool over the eyes of God. We need to learn from lazy bones that life does have a clear meaning, a purpose with which we need to engage, that begins with the fear of the Lord. And that phrase means putting God in his rightful place in our lives, submitting to his authority, seeking his wisdom as we face the details of life, enjoying his closeness on the journey to the destination of eternal life with him. But Moneybags wants us to learn that if we find ourselves heading in the wrong direction, we do need to be honest and recognize that. We need to take immediate and decisive action to correct our error. We dare not miss the vital importance of the lessons that these three fools teach us. Ignoring God as the one who gives life, meaning, purpose, direction, and destination, that is the beginning of foolishness. We need to be certain, do we not, that we do not run the risk of hearing God's verdict, "You fool." Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one who gives life its meaning, its purpose, its direction, and you are its destination. O Lord God, we pray that you would make it clear to us that we are your children and that you walk with us on our journey. Grant us that knowledge of your closeness, we pray, until we meet you face to face. Amen.